Congratulations to all the fathers, both biological fathers as well as those who occupy that position to direct and to guide, some of us in terms of mentoring us in our lives. So to the biological fathers and all those who assume those positions, we offer our gratitude and our prayers on this day. For a number of years, I studied in Rome, and what happened while you were studying in Rome is, along with other priests who were a part of the casa in which I was in, the community, we would take what they called gitas, little trips, because it was so convenient. When you were studying in Rome or Italy, within less than a few hours, you could be in another country. And so that's the beauty of the of Europe. And so I, along with three other priests, got on a train and we went to Austria. And there in Austria, we visited the University of Austria, a great university, one of the great universities in the world. We toured St. Stephen's Plaza. We toured the great, wonderful cathedral in Austria, in Vienna itself, Vienna. And while we were in Vienna, we went over to Konstadt Park. And Konstadt Park is this wonderful place where you'd have rot wine, red wine, a glass of red wine. You'd sit there, and you'd enjoy the Viennese waltzes played by this orchestra. And as the Viennese waltzes were being played, there was this huge kind of open space. And various individuals would get up and they'd begin to dance the Great Waltz. And I remember being there, and I remember watching and observing everything that was going on. And there was a father, a mother, and their about 11-year-old daughter. And I mention that 11-year-old because oftentimes for a girl that is the age of awkwardness. And you could see, wasn't quite yet a woman. She wasn't a child. She wasn't a woman. And she was looking longingly at all these individuals who were dancing the great Viennese waltzes. And there she was, looking at herself, kind of feeling, I think, a little awkward, feeling a little overweight, not knowing where she fit in or how she fit into the world. And then suddenly, as I watched, her father got up. And he came over in front of her, in front of her chair, and he did one of those waist bows, and he picked up her hand, and he took her off, and he started to waltz with her to the wonderful strains of the great Viennese waltzes. And she looked into the eyes of this man, her dad, and I know I could read her thoughts. This was the greatest man in the world. It's a man who reached out, who met her where she was at, and made her feel with elegance and dignity the possession that she had as a person. I mention that not because today's just Father's Day, but I mention it because of what we are reading in sacred scripture, the scripture that was pronounced. We can take a look at it and step back and say it's a woman who's forgiven. It's a righteousness of a man, Simon, who invites Jesus but doesn't prepare him and doesn't prepare for him and for his visit. We can take a look at us and understand forgiveness and the sense of forgiveness and for those who have sinned much, much more in terms of their forgiveness, much more of their gratitude should be expected. We can take a look at all that. But I want you to see it from the perspective of the Father, who through his Son, Jesus Christ, is reaching out to every one of us. The Father, whose love is meeting us where we're at. The Father, who takes us and reminds us of the dignity that we have even when we abuse that dignity and lose it through sin. We see that in the first reading when we experience David. Now, David was one of those characters as king of Israel, the king of the Jews, king of Israel. But he would oftentimes leave the reservation. He would do those things that would be an affront to God. But there was one aspect of David which always seemingly brought him back, and that was his ability to understand that in the forgiveness of God, he could be made whole. That no matter what prevented him or created an obstacle from him embracing God in his ability to ask for forgiveness, he could be made whole. And he was made whole. He was made whole. We have in that second letter an understanding immediately by St. Paul of where our justification ultimately comes from. It doesn't come from following the laws, although the laws are there. And remember what Jesus says about the law. Not one law will be changed, not one iota of the law. But understand, it doesn't bring you fulfillment. What brings you fulfillment is the person of Jesus into your heart, who is the loving reach of the Father. He is the hand of the Father reaching out to us through him, bringing us back through the wonderful mercy and forgiveness that is ours. The great directors of movies, when they place a movie before us, oftentimes place the story there and give us enough development of the characters so that we can begin to identify with the characters. Either in our acceptance of them or acknowledgement that we've encountered individuals like this, or sometimes in the reflection in our own lives. We're like this. This is who we are. I often think when we read sacred scripture and confronted with the story given to us by our Lord, we have to ask ourselves that question: who do you identify with in the story? And I would venture to say most of us do not identify with the sinful woman. Although sometimes we might think we do, but I would say in our heart of hearts, we do not identify with the sinful woman. I would offer that most of us, myself included, we're probably more like Simon. We invite Jesus to be a part of our lives, but we do nothing to prepare ourselves for Jesus' visit. We do very little to understand and appreciate this aspect of the person of the Lord who comes to us and the manner in which he comes to us, his very person into our lives. Oftentimes we, like Simon, stand off, quickly judge those individuals who have sinned, quickly judge their lack of worthiness to embrace God in any form or fashion, while we ourselves oftentimes are indifferent to the very act of the loving God who is reaching out to us constantly. And yet it is understanding this sense of God's love in our lives that brings us to know the person of God, to change and transform our lives accordingly. Do we greet our Lord Jesus Christ with the sense of the tears and sorrows that are often there because of the times that we have separated ourselves from God? And you know, an interesting statement that Jesus makes, he says to Simon, he says, let me ask you, he says, those who have been forgiven more, you know, they owed a greater debt of gratitude to God. When we understand our own sinfulness in our own lives, We understand there is nothing we could do to rectify that debt before God. There's only one thing, and this is why St. Paul talks in terms of the Lord, not just the law not justifying it, but only Jesus Christ. There is only one person that can offer that sacrifice which gives us the wholeness that we have in terms of our faith, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. When we understand what is done for us at this Mass, at this liturgy that is celebrated, and then the offering and invitation to partake in the Lord entering into our lives, then can we do anything else but understand what an awesome act God has performed for us? None like it in our entire existence. And yet, do we treat it like a typical happenstance, like something which should always be there? Or do we understand the depth of the love that's being conveyed for us? You did not give me a kiss, but this one who is a sinner has not ceased kissing my feet since I entered. How do we greet our friend, Jesus, as we invite him into our lives? A life that is made whole and dignified by the extended hand of him from the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.